Hello, everyone, and welcome to Hit and Hustle from IrishSportsDaily.com. I am your host, Greg Flamont. And with me, as always, is Jamie Uwayama, Mr. Jamie University. It is Thursday, May 5th, and Notre Dame has a new punter, Jamie, from down under. James Rendell commits to Notre Dame. Marty Biagi's flying all over the world, looking, you know, high and low for ways to help improve the Notre Dame football program. And he has done so, picks up James Rendell. Apparently he has 3 years of eligibility. He's an Australian rules football player over there. And so he's coming to Notre Dame. He's going to be Notre Dame's punter in 2024 and perhaps beyond. So that's something that we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the portal has closed for the spring. There was talk it was going to be crazy. The portal was going to be going insane, change the landscape of college football. It doesn't seem to have happened or come to fruition beyond maybe like Colorado and what they've got going on. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to build the perfect linebacker, Jamie. We did the If You Build It segment with quarterbacks before. We're going to do linebacker this time, and that's going to be a fun time. We're going to talk about since 2010, your offensive line, because I think that's like an interesting discussion now. And then we're going to go into a bunch of other topics around the nation as well. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you like what you heard or like what you hear, if you like what you've heard before and you haven't done so already, please subscribe to our channel. Please hit the like button on this video. Please hit the notification bell so whenever it is we are going live. Links to the podcast are in the description below if you prefer the audio format. And like we said, Notre Dame going out and upgrading their roster, upgrading their special teams, right? They had an opening. Bryce McPherson leaves the program. They had an opening there. They upgraded their situation, and you can upgrade your clothing situation by going to esqclothing.com, founded by Notre Dame alum Ga Wang. You've seen ESQ on all your favorite Notre Dame players and coaches with over a decade of making the best custom clothing available. ESQ will help you look and feel your best in 2024. From a perfect fitting suit or sport coat, shirt or bomber jacket, or that perfect tuxedo for wedding season, check out Ga's amazing work at esqclothing.com. Book an appointment to upgrade your wardrobe today. Mention ISD and get 10% off your entire purchase. Jamie, I'm just going to posit a question to you just right up front. Is Marty Biagi the most underrated coach on the staff today?
I mean, I guess there's an argument for it. Obviously, he did a good job with the special teams last year. Like,
good job with special teams.
He absolutely did. I think it's a tough act to follow with Brian Mason in terms of like they blocked all the punts the year before, and it was just like incredible their success doing it. And I think like my guess is if Isaiah Foskey was on the team, they would have blocked a couple more punts last year. Right. So I think there's that part of them not, getting to a punt, although they came close a couple times, and they certainly have some guys on the roster who have blocked punts. But I think just overall, you just look at like, first of all, just overall competency with the special teams.
Yeah.
They were good. I believe they finished like top 20 in like FEI special teams rankings. That's not nothing. And just overall, like they, you know, you look at like them stopping fakes, calling the fakes at the right time, like all that kind of stuff. He's a good coach for sure. And I think I was a little bit surprised that Schrader didn't really kind of have the success, kicking that I would have expected, but it kind of went kind of part and parcel with his career. And it'll be interesting to kind of see. I seriously doubt Mitch Sheeter's not going to be very good this year, but I love getting an Aussie punter. I've always wanted them to get an Aussie.
We've always wanted it now, and his name is Thor. They call him Thor, Jamie.
Yeah.
What's this? Is huge for the program. It shows the reach. He says, "Oh, Notre Dame called. I know who Notre Dame is. Notre Dame football. I mean, it's huge."
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, there's been a lot of success with Aussie punters coming over, and there's so many, programs that have brought someone over. And you know, as Matt Freeman pointed out, Biagi has worked with a couple different Aussie punters before, so it's not foreign to him. And great job by Matt too on the story. Again, some insight from Tyler Newsome as well, kind of like how that kind of connected all that, and also speaks to the fact that like Tyler Newsome still keeps in touch with Coach Biagi. It's pretty cool as well. I just think like, I mean, to be honest, I have no idea how good this guy is going to be. Obviously he's a good looking bloke. He's a good looking guy.
He's a good looking guy. Yeah. You know, that's this is, we're speaking.
He looks the part, looks like he could probably play defensive end. I know my wife at one time, lived in Australia for a short period of time on an exchange for college. And, so footy or whatever, which he plays, they're like the best athletes in Australia. So, I don't know. I think it speaks pretty well to, kind of what his potential could be. And I'm excited to kind of see it.
6'6", 235, as Michael Parks points out. I mean, speed option, that's on the table now. In all seriousness, it is something teams are going to have to take seriously. He is obviously comfortable running with the ball, right? I wonder if it'll be weird for him to have a bunch of pads on, right, and a helmet and all that. He's probably not used to that. But it's something, right? Like they're going to have to be on the lookout for something like that, right? Or like there's a bad snap or whatever, and he starts running around. It's a threat that they're gonna have to worry about. JAAC asked, "What is a good punt average?" I assume not a special teams guy. I'm guessing it's like 45 yards or so. I think the net punting is where it's at. Right?
Yeah, that's what matters more.
So like when we say net punting, you punt the ball 50 yards, they return it for 10. That's a net of 40, right? So that's not terrible, but you punt the ball 45 yards and return it for none. Well, it's a net of 45, right? So, like, that's where I think, obviously, like, you don't want a punter that's shanking the ball over the place, right? Like, that is key. I think consistency is key. I mean, obviously, a big leg is a weapon, right? You can totally flip the field, things of that nature. But it's all about how they set up for the return, how the return team sets up. Are you limiting the return? Are you getting a bunch of fair catches? Can you angle the ball? There's all sorts of stuff that goes into it other than just how far they're kicking it. But look, that's something we're going to have to track, right? Like it's a different thing.
Perfect examples. McPherson last year averaged 45.
Yeah.
But I think people who watch could see that like he wasn't great. He was inconsistent. He was very inconsistent.
Yeah.
And a lot of times too, where he had like booming punts where you're like, oh, that went 50 something, it didn't have the hang time. It was able to be returned for quite a bit because he outkicked the coverage and all that kind of stuff. Right. And so there's just like all these other parts of it, like pinning teams or whatever, like John Sott the year before averaged 43.9. He obviously wasn't worse than McPherson. He was better than him.
He was better.
He was better. And obviously too, your numbers can go down based on how you pin people. And he was great at pinning people too. Mm-hmm. So there's all these kind of other factors that go into it. So I think one of the things with McPherson was just an inconsistency, and we have no idea if this guy's going to be consistent or how good he is. Hopefully it's the next Darren Bennett and then just killing it like that. But we'll see. We'll see where he's at. But it's weird because it's not like a lot of times that people can get excited about adding a punter.
Yeah.
But I think people, at the very least, everyone's intrigued.
It's definitely an interesting thing. It's an interesting story, right? It has the total potential of just comes in like a couple bad punts and it's like, hey, like, where are we at with like anybody else, right? Like, so, you know, I have no idea how he punts or how.
Yeah. Well, and then Goins,
it's just going to be something to monitor.
Yeah. Sorry. Goins, you know, was a guy who was competing in the spring too. And, you know, they said he had a good spring. So we'll see where he's at. Maybe he wins the job. Like, we don't know. Right. Like, we can just see. I mean, I think one of the things too, with John Sott, no one was like, man, John Sott's going to be the punter. People thought McPherson was going to be the punter as a true freshman, because he was like, whatever, the number one ranked punter or whatever he was out of high school. So you just got to kind of wait and see and see, you know, kind of who wins it. And obviously Notre Dame signed plenty of kickers over the years that were like, you know, number whatever in Chris Saylor's rankings that didn't work out good. You know, there's very few of those. There's more of those guys who didn't work out than there are Justin Younes.
Yeah. I mentioned at the top, the portal closed. And so there's not going to be any more defections from Notre Dame at this point in terms of the portal. They are over the limit in terms of scholarships. Something has to happen, right? And I think Notre Dame kind of knows what's going to happen, or they have some sort of idea. You're adding players.
I'm sure they do,
yeah. Like I said, you're adding players. They're looking at a corner, Montre Millett, like they're looking at them. So they must have some sense of what's going to happen with regard to the roster. Doesn't seem to be anything that they are concerned about. I mean, it's good, right? Like, I think, you know, if people were looking for a tackle to enter the portal that Notre Dame is in on, you know, we had talked about the player from UCLA. The name came up during the show last time on Tuesday. We just said maybe you go look at his numbers. He was not very good, especially in pass pro at UCLA last year. Like, you're not going to go after someone who with numbers like that. Like, they're just not going to do that. There's no need for that, right? There's no way that player is going to be more valuable to your program than someone like Jagusaw or Tosh Baker or Emil Wagner, right? You're going to stay with your guys and what you have there and the relationships that you have there and the development you have there with Joe Rudolph. So I guess, are you comfortable with Notre Dame is? I mean, the corner that where Notre Dame is looking right now, like we've kind of talked about it. They're looking for backups, right? They're looking for a guy to supplement kind of the back end of the corner room, the defensive back room, the secondary. I feel pretty good, right? Like, you have to feel pretty good about where Notre Dame is roster wise. They're not looking for starters. They're not looking for guys to come in and make a big impact. It's rather on the edges, on the margins.
Yeah, a little bit like just adding Antonio Carter last year, right? Which was, he was obviously just like an extra depth piece that, you know, they were like, okay, he played corner at Rhode Island. And we're going to see how he kind of converts to safety. And it didn't work out, but it wasn't like a bad thing to add someone like him, you know, just in case, just as like a depth player. And I think right now they're probably fine. They could be fine if they don't add another depth corner. But it would just be a little bit, it's just kind of the same thing. It's like Clarence Lewis was that kind of security blanket. And if they have, you know, somebody else who maybe is not the same as Lewis, but just, it could also be like another security blanket just in case. Because just think about like the Pitt game last year, where all of a sudden Christian Gray and Jaden Mickey basically have to play the whole game, right? Because Hart went down and Morrison was out, right? Yeah. So you don't know if there's going to be a game like that this year. Like, it could happen. I mean, that's pretty rare. It doesn't happen very often, but certainly, like, I think about, like, think about the end of the, 2022 season, right? With Hart and Bracey out, right? Like,
it was not a good situation.
Huge. That was huge, right? And you don't want to be in that situation, and it could happen. Obviously, Harper missed a game last year, right? And, you know, they had Lewis who could just step in that thing. And obviously, you want to have all your best when you're playing against the best competition you're doing it. But, like, you got to have other guys who can play like at least at like a replacement player level. So I think it would be important that they add a corner, and they, because it just gives them a little bit more security there. I mean, in an ideal world, they would add a tackle who could really like at least very push to start. But there's nobody out there that I would say like the odds of them being better than the guys that Notre Dame already has on campus, pretty slim, like pretty slim. Like, why are you taking these guys just because they have experience? Like, I don't think like most of those guys don't have the ceiling of Jagusaw, Emil Wagner, Tosh Baker, Gerby Lambert, whatever, right? Like, first of all, too, like, I don't think people realize, or I mean, most people do, I hope they do, that even though these guys are inexperienced and there's questions about them and everyone's worried about them, and they should be, you know, a little bit worried about that Texas A&M matchup with the edge rushers they're going to face. But Notre Dame has the luxury of like all these guys were like top 100 tackles. Yeah. They all were, right? I think Wagner was the lowest composite guy and he was 104 or something or whatever, right? Like, and to me, I thought Wagner was closer to like a top 50 guy. So like, you know, depending on where you see it, like he was ranked a lot higher. And I mean, they're all like kind of like they were all ranked in the top 11 at the position in their class, all four stars, right? Like, you know, Jagusaw and Lambert, like very high four stars as well. Well, Baker as well, too, right? But like, it's just one of those things where they other teams are having to play guys who should be playing guard and like have no business even playing tackle that. You know, they recruited to play guard that end up playing tackle for them that Notre Dame is going to have to, they're going to have to block Notre Dame's defensive lineman this year. So you want the experience. Of course you want to have, it would be great if they had Alton Fisher this year, but certainly they have material to work with.
They have material. And like, again, they're the guys you invested in. And I like taking that investment with the players that you brought in, that you said, hey, like we believe you're going to be a factor for our program. You're going to bring in, you're going to usher in or continue the tradition that Notre Dame has of having good offensive lines, good offensive tackles. Right. And I think that's a good segue into the thing that I want to talk about too, which was like, okay, we talk about the top, you know, building your ultimate team, right? And we usually do it like post 2010, like the new era, like the Brian Kelly era and forward, right? Now, we've built teams before and it's like, okay, you slot in the offensive line and it makes sense. Now with Joe Alt there, it gets kind of messy in terms of building your ultimate offensive line post 2010, right? It's interesting that like Nick Martin, let me ask you, like, okay, the centers you would involve in this conversation, Jarrett Patterson is one. Actually, okay, this is interesting. I think Jarrett Patterson is one at center. I think Nick Martin is one at center. Braxton Cave was one at center, and Sam Mustipher. Where are you going with center in like your top building your ultimate offensive line since 2010? Where are you going with that?
I mean, I would go with Martin. Martin was, I think, the best player out of that group. Patterson, I think, is probably the closest there. I think Mustipher was a good player. Like, he was a good player.
He was.
Like, definitely didn't get the kind of, you know, credit that he probably deserved. And obviously, he didn't get drafted. But, I mean, the guy's played, like, a ton of games in the NFL, started a ton of games in the NFL already, right? Yeah. So, like, you know, that's obviously he's someone who, you know, it will, you know, proved that he probably should have been drafted. And yeah. I think, I mean, Cave to me is like, he's quite a bit down. There's a gap there. But Jacob Pauls brings up that like Robert Hainsey plays center in the NFL. And he probably should have played center
in the NFL. Right? And there's the other one about like Zach Martin played only tackle at Notre Dame, but he's only been a guard in the NFL. And I think if you wanted to say have to play the position you played at Notre Dame, then this is really difficult because now you have the tackles as Martin, McGlinchey, Alt, and Stanley. Those four guys for two spots. That is very difficult if we wanted to do that. So you tell me what you want to do or how you really want to break that down. I'll put Martin at guard just for the sake of like.
Yeah.
Why not?
I mean, considering he's probably, a top three guard in NFL history.
Yeah, like he's definitely a Hall of Famer. Yeah. He didn't play it in Notre Dame, though, so it's tough.
Yeah. I mean, he easily could have. I mean, I think you kind of have to because you're going to take the five best, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, I play Alt and Stanley would be the tackles. And I would have, obviously, Nelson and Martin at guard.
Yeah.
And then I think you could, you know, legitimately, like, you could maybe move Hainsey there. It would be, like, between Hainsey and
Nick Martin.
Nick Martin. But, I mean, I would probably just go with Nick Martin just because he played it there. But, I mean, when you think about, like, Hainsey isn't there. Banks was an All-American. He's not there. McGlinchey, top 10 pick.
The backup, like the second team offensive line.
Liam Eichenberg was, you know, a very good player. You know, like he's not there. Like also a guy who could slide in to play guard too. It's a pretty great group, right? I mean, Chris Watt was great guard, right? Like, man, it's tough. I think that just shows like when you're talking about that kind of thing, that's how when you get into it and say like, man, it really is O-line you because.
I mean, McGlinchey like does it. He's the ninth pick in the draft and he just got a huge second contract and he's not making it. Like, that's insane. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. Well, it's just because, and it kind of goes back to something that I always talk about. It's like everybody judges the players by like the standard that the guy set before them. And it's like almost like unfair because it's like, you know, Banks was really, really good, but he wasn't close to Quentin Nelson, you know? So I really think that like, if you look at that kind of, you know, it's, if you're judging him based on that, it's not really like a thing you could really like, you wouldn't take him there, but it's like, he's just really good. And I don't know. It's tough. Obviously they got depth, but I mean, yeah, to me, that would be my five. I go Stanley, probably go Stanley at right tackle just because he had played it at
Notre Dame. Yeah. He played his first year, right? As I recall. Yeah.
He played it, or technically his second year. Cause he was, you know, redshirted the
first year. Like his first year as like
his first year as a starter. Yeah. Cause you know, Martin was at left tackle.
Yeah.
And then he was at right tackle, right? So I'd probably put him there. But like, even if you were going to say, if it was a battle between Alt and Stanley, like, I mean, that's a very, very tough decision. Those guys. And I don't think you could pick either of them over Zach Martin if you were just picking there, right? So it's like, you could like, it's insane. It just shows what a run they've had. And like, you know, I think hopefully they keep going on it. And you know, somebody up there mentioned about Hestand, and I know Hestand gets a ton of heat from Notre Dame fans and, you know, certainly. Cause it's like, you'd say like maybe some of the units like underachieved as units, right? But like, you can't deny this guy had developed like, these guys weren't five stars. They weren't five stars. I mean, most of them are four stars. I'm not saying that, but like, they were all guys that he helped turn into great, great players and guys that he identified. And I mean, outside of Alt, who was a Jeff Quinn pickup, like, I think everybody else we listed was a Hestand guy outside of Martin and Watt, because you know they were guys that were recruited in the previous coaching staff.
And I mean, I think the other part too is like, it's across spectrums of rankings, right? So like Quentin Nelson was a highly ranked player, McGlinchey was mid four. I think Ronnie Stanley was highly ranked, very highly ranked. Zach Martin, three-star. Joe Alt, three-star. Right, like you're going all over the board, right? Like you're taking highly rated players, you're taking mid fours, and you're taking mid threes, and the top 10 picks, right? It's just impressive. Like it's just it's quite a run, you know. And so you know that just goes to show Notre Dame's offensive line dominance. People are talking about Steve Elmer, who just essentially retired from football, and he was a five-star player and he was a starter, right? And I think he left when he still had some eligibility left. So Alex Barr
is another one. I mean, Elmer wasn't close to these guys. No, I mean, obviously you started Notre Dame for multiple years, you're a pretty good player.
Yeah.
But I mean, when we're talking about the cream of the crop, yeah, he wouldn't even be on the second team.
And that's but that shows like he'd be the best offensive lineman USC's had in the last however long. That's not true. They've had
some They've had some.
Yeah, they've had some good offensive linemen, but like the depth of what they have.
Yeah,
especially not at guard. They've had some good tackles. Speaking of USC, let's take a spin around the nation real quick, Jamie. I watched their spring game the other day on the YouTube, and first of all, they were thudding. Right. And so what that means is you're hitting, you're rapping, but you're not taken to the ground. You're letting them go. And so by definition, you're not going full speed there. But like players know on a thud, like everything is going to just be a little bit slower. So when you watch it, you're thinking like, do they even care? Right. Like, because when something's on TV, you expect it to look a certain kind of way. It looks a little bit different. Right. Well, if you're there in practice, you kind of understand. But so they're thudding. So there's that. I thought the quarterbacks look bad. Like every single one of Notre Dame's quarterbacks look better than these guys. I mean, they're throwing picks, Jamie, that were,
it was kind of bad weather though, wasn't it?
Nope. It was perfect weather. No, Colorado had bad weather. No, USC was a sunny day. It was, the weather was perfect. They were throwing, maybe it could have been windy, I guess, but no, they had good weather. Throwing picks, like bad placement. It's one thing to like the Kenny Minchie interception was where it's like, hey, I'm trying to force it in here, right? And he knows he's forcing it in there, right? And you try to fit into a spot, you're throwing in a double coverage, that's not good, right? It gets tipped and whatever. Like they're throwing to a spot where it's like, there is nobody catching this ball except for the defender. Like you're throwing the corner route on a high low, like short. No one is, if the defensive back isn't there, it's going to be incomplete by like yards. It's really not good. I was like not impressed with that. I wasn't impressed with, like, you know, people are talking about how their defense is better. I saw a couple of busts in the secondary, like in the spring. Now look,
it happens. Spring game,
fine. Okay, all caveats onto this, but it's like if I was a USC fan, Jamie, I'd be fairly concerned because this is, if the offense, look, you could say whatever you want about their new defense and all that stuff and their new coaches, and that's great. You know, and I saw a couple of accounts being like, well, you know, the defensive backs, like they weren't in position last year to make these kind of plays. Fine. This is not a situation where I'd be like, yeah, but the DBs look good. Like I didn't think they did really. Like they're getting balls thrown to them that should not be thrown to them. So I don't know if you saw that. I saw it and I was just like, I don't.
I saw that they had bad days. Like the offense had a kind of rough day and like,
yeah,
you know, the quarterback struggled. Man, it's going to be interesting. And I mean, this is kind of leading to the portal stuff too, is that they didn't really get, you know, because if you look at who they had in the last year, their receivers were, it was Taj Washington, who was a Memphis transfer, and then Brendan Rice, who was a Colorado transfer, and Dorian Singer, who was like a good player at Arizona, but he was not good.
He was not good.
No, really struggled. And he was kind of supposed to be their Addison, their Jordan Addison, and he was not. And they didn't add the same kind of receivers that they had.
They had to bring back Kyle Ford, who had transferred away from them, and he came back. Like, that's...
Yeah. That is, I mean, that kind of shows, too, that they're bringing in another kid from Auburn, who was just a guy, Jay Fair, who's just a guy at Auburn. Yeah. They took another kid, a group of five kid, Jaden Richardson was another kid. And I mean, I admittedly haven't looked up enough about him to kind of know where he's at, but I just like, they kind of need him to be like a decent player, because they've recruited guys.
Yeah.
You know, like, but they need Zachariah Branch to not be just a gadget guy. Like, he's got to be a guy for them.
Yeah.
Like, Mario Williams, it didn't work out, right? And he's gone. You know, the Oklahoma transfer, he kind of busted there, right? Like,
yeah.
He did not end up being anywhere close to what people kind of thought he was going to be. And then Deuce Robinson, who's like, you know, the kind of hybrid, you know, big monstrous, like freak athlete guy, like tight end, like 6'6" receiver type. Like, he needs to be a dude for them, because I think, I mean, you saw all those things, Greg, about, like, you know, them talking about, well, they didn't have the receivers to get open last year. And that was the thing with Caleb, is he didn't have the receivers.
And then they got worse.
It looks like on paper they got worse.
Yeah.
Unless those other guys just take huge jumps. And I mean, who knows if, I mean, obviously Branch got hurt last year and missed some time. And like, that is something that, I mean, I would be worried about, because I don't think they have the depth there to really kind of handle stuff. And I think if you look at, like, it's weird because obviously they invested a ton into the defensive coaching staff, right? And mm-hmm. We talked about it before. They basically have like an all-star coaching staff now of like guys who have been coordinators. And there's no way they're not going to be better on defense. Like, they're going to be better. They're not going to be like one of the worst defenses in the country this year. Like, but to go from bad to like above average is hard. It's not something that happens very often. So, because even if you look at, say, like, oh, when, you know, Notre Dame went from BVG to Mike Elko, the defense was, I mean, people would say it's bad, but it was more like average, right? Like, it was more average, and then it went up to like pretty good, and then obviously it climbed from there. They got to hope for just being like average, right? Mm-hmm. They didn't really land the same kind of guys in the portal that would make me think, like, they got some good second level players, right? Like, they got a couple good safeties. I think that'll probably help them, because obviously they had some problems at safety.
Yeah.
But, you know, they lost Damani Jackson, who was probably their best corner last year. That Tackett Curtis kid, who was like a linebacker who played for them a lot as a freshman, you know, he bounced. I do think, and they got the kid from Oregon State, Easton Mascarenhas Arnold, right? Yeah. And then his brother, Akili Arnold, is a safety from Oregon State. And those guys are good players. Like, they're like
good players for sure.
Pac-12, you know, all Pac-12 level dudes. But they're still, I don't think they're that good up front. And like, they really need Barracks and Alexander to just be awesome. Like, just, and because I don't think they got the kind of the edge rushers. They don't really have like the depth on the defensive line. Like, they've openly, when you're openly talking about, we need more bodies at defensive tackle. And, you know, they lost one of the guys that they brought in, the Texas A&M transfer, Isaiah Rakes, that they brought in. He already bounced. And he's going to Auburn, I think. So, like, they are not in a good spot, like, in a lot of ways in terms of the roster. where you look at year three, they shouldn't be in this thing. And they didn't have, if you're looking at how they've done in the portal and who's available in the portal now, I just don't see who they could add that is going to like really kind of give them what they need. Like, I don't know if you saw, but they offered Micah Bell.
And yeah, I did see that. Yeah.
Like, and whatever, you know, Micah Bell, he's a good athlete. Maybe he goes to that spot. And, you know, I'm sure Doug Belk, he's a Houston guy. You know, Doug Belk was from Houston. He probably knows Micah Bell, probably recruited him from Houston. Probably have a good relationship. There's probably something like, he's a good athlete. Maybe he could be something, but he wasn't going to be something at Notre Dame. So it's, you know, I don't think they're, it's not like they lack talent. They have some high-end talent. I just don't know how good they're going to be this year. They're going to be really interesting this year. Like, I mean, and plus the schedule is going to be tough. So, and I think you kind of privately, you made the prediction this could be, you know, Lincoln Riley's last year.
Yeah.
It'd be.
Yeah. I just like Micah Bell, right? Like he was competing for plays against like KK Smith, who's Notre Dame's like seventh receiver, you know, who's good. I like him. I like him, but like he's getting beaten for touchdowns in the spring game by Mikey Gilbert, you know, like that's where he's at in terms of just like his development and how he can, where he's competing, you know, against guys. It's not like top, it's like, you know, go in, he's going to solve a problem for us. And like Jacob Paulus says, you guys say about Notre Dame spring game, can't read too much into it. That's true to an extent, right? And obviously there's a long way to go for them. But like you look at the struggles on offense, like everyone talks about the defenses in transition, that's fine. Miller Moss has been in USC's program for 3 years. He has been around the entire time. It should not look like that. The offense is not going through anything right now. It should look better, right? Notre Dame's offense looked better, and they've been with Mike Denbrock for 10 minutes. You know, it's just, look, if it doesn't look good, it doesn't look good. And so you have to say that. Like, if I was a Notre Dame fan, or if I was a USC fan,
I'd be worried.
I'd be pretty like, I don't want to say alarmed, but I'd be like, man, there's a lot that needs to improve more than you would be very comfortable with, which is what I would say.
It's more than the spring game too. It's more than the spring game. It's just kind of looking at the totality of it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a compounding. Robert Hallecky says, I missed the last show, Greg, any thoughts on Dallas Gold? I had a few thoughts on Dallas Gold, and you could check out the last video. Look, I went for it. You know, look, I like Dallas Gold, and he's a good player. All right, Jamie, do you have anything else on the portal? Anything else around the nation that you wanted to talk about?
I mean, I think like if I was looking at like kind of where some of these teams have gone in terms of like adding guys, and there hasn't been or what they've lost and stuff too. And most programs right now, what they're losing are guys who don't play. So I wouldn't read too much into kind of which guys are leaving some of the programs, right? Like, so I would say like the guys who are leaving A&M wouldn't get too caught up in it. Like even like, so they're like, oh, Bryce Foster, they're moving their starting center. I mean, he wasn't that good for them last year, and he didn't practice with them the whole spring because he was doing track. So I don't think like, I think they were happy to get rid of him, and they picked up Utah's center to kind of replace him already. So they already had that in mind. And like, even if you look at say Jacoby Matthews, who started for them at safety. I mean, one of the things that after the spring game where Matthews had already been in the portal, Mike Elko had talked about how they were like really pleased at safety, where they thought they had three or four guys for sure who can play in the SEC, and that's without Matthews. So I think, you know, their losses are probably nothing that they're definitely not the same losses that they experienced before when you're, you know, you're losing guys like Stewart and Nolan, Evan Stewart, the stud wide receiver, and, you know, LT Overton, another stud defensive tackle, Walter Nolan, the stud defensive tackle. Like, those are losses. Like, those are things that you would want to have. But I mean, they've already added guys to kind of what they've done. And, you know, they picked up, you know, the linebacker from Pitt, Solomon DeShields. I don't think he's that good of a player. I think the fact that they're picking up a guy like that kind of shows that it's like, maybe they aren't that feeling that great about at where their linebackers are at. So that's something interesting. Even the fact that actually they were bringing the center from Utah in, and forget about the Foster piece of it. Like, they have the most returning. I think they have the most returning snaps out of any team on the offensive line this year, which, you know, people always say, oh, that's great. I mean, there's been a lot of years where Florida State was like that too. And they were trash because they just didn't have the players and the guys were still young, right? Like, Stanford's bringing a ton of guys back on the offensive line. And like, they're going to stink on the O-line again this year. It maybe 2025, they might be good, but whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't know how good they're going to be on the O-line. They did a really good job kind of replacing other things. And I think the defense is going to be good and legit. Like, probably they're not at their kind of peak of where they're going to be when they start getting all the guys they want in recruiting again. But even if you look at, like, people talk about that class, they lost all these guys from that class. It's like all these five stars.
Mm-hmm.
They have a bunch of freaks that still are on the roster. So I wouldn't get too caught up in, like, you know, they're still going to be good. So I wouldn't overreact to that. And then in terms of the one really interesting one, is, to me, Florida State I see they're in on a couple guys, but they haven't added anybody yet. It seems like Miami is buying all these guys up, so I think that's probably hurting them a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that, I mean, that'll be interesting with Florida State. I don't know if you saw anything with that with their spring game too, but DJ Uagalele, like, I mean, he had a bad spring
game.
Yeah, tough. He had a bad spring game. That's going to be interesting because he really had the right situation at Oregon State, and they had a great O-line and they had a great running game.
And then that program broke up.
And the program kind of broke up. And the one thing I will say, I think their O-line is probably going to be the best O-line that Notre Dame plays all year.
Florida State.
Yeah. I would be surprised if they weren't. Like, they bring a lot back, and guys were, you know, they had a good, pretty good O-line last year. And, you know, they got four guys who started quite a bit of games last year that are back. So I think that's going to, you know, that's something to kind of monitor with them. But, like, you know, they have some new guys at receiver who are young that they kind of need to hit big. I was wondering if they were going to, like, maybe pick up a receiver or something. We'll see. But Louisville's, easily the most interesting thing because they lost guys who started for them last year who were, like, pretty good players.
Yeah.
Like, they lost a D-tackle. They lost a linebacker that, like, other teams want. Like, that, you know, so it's not, like, a thing. I'm not 100% sure these guys got beat out is what I'm trying to say. And, like, Tyler Barron, he was a very good edge rusher for Tennessee last year. And there's the kid, the running back that they got from, I believe he's a Miami of Ohio kid who ended up, now he's going to UCF now. He left after he was, like, kind of one of their big pickups. Man, they have so many, they added so many transfers, period. And then they added, this is just in since April. They have a linebacker, three edges, and a D-tackle that they've added in the portal in April.
Yeah.
So what does that say about them this year. I don't know. Like, are they like, oh man, we like desperately need these guys? It's like, oh, they're just paying these guys for depth or whatever. I don't know. None of the guys I think are great players, but obviously they're still adding guys. It's very interesting. Last year I had no idea how good Louisville be, and they obviously exceeded expectations and were much better, and the defense was really good. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I imagine the defense will be pretty good again, but I mean, Ashton Gillette is still like he's a stud, and I really like the other kid. The name escapes me right now, but the other edge guy who kind of came out of nowhere, had a really good game against Notre Dame, had a couple sacks against Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. They have some guys, but I don't know. Like, it's kind of like everyone who was a big guy for them in offense is gone. So it's like they're kind of remaking it all, and it's going to be interesting. They could be 7-5 type of team, or they could be like another kind of 9-10 win team.
Yeah. I think Florida State and Louisville kind of remind me of like Michigan State that one year with Walker, in that, like, I think Florida State, like the Jordan Travis era, like the ending of the Jordan Travis era is very, like, interesting to me. It's like, I just feel like he made so much of what they want to do on offense go. I know he was the engine, you know, like, their running game was supplemented by his legs. The passing game was supplemented by his legs. He was a very, like, playmaker type of quarterback, in terms of, like, he's not going to be a high draft pick, but, like, the perfect college quarterback who can just, like, his legs are such a X factor. And I just, you know, they hit with Braden Fist. They hit with Jared Verse, like, just big-time players, right? Like, one from the MAC, one from Albany. And it's a first round pick you're getting from Albany. Like, that is just such a stroke of luck, you know.
It does seem pretty lucky.
And it's just like you're losing guys. Keon Coleman is another one where it's like he comes from Michigan State and he's a big hit. It just seems like, man, they had a lot go right for them without just natural, just we're moving these guys into the lineup answers. And Louisville, kind of the same. Like, you hit on Jamari Thrash. You hit on the running back, Juwan Jordan. I mean, even to the extent of like Jack Plummer, right? Like, who was just exactly what you kind of needed. Like, it's one thing to have your team supplemented by the portal. It's another thing to where it's like, we are good because our portal guys really hit.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's where those two schools are. Now, look, maybe it could happen again. I don't know. I think Norvell's a good coach. I do.
He is a good coach.
Yeah, I think Jeff Brohm is a good coach, right? He's not like – I don't think he's like the offensive guru that everyone kind of makes him out to be. But I think they're good coaches. They won't put bad teams out there, but it's just like, man, are they going to be what they've been? It's kind of hard to see that, in my opinion. That's going to be something to monitor as things kind of go
forward.
So
they had 10 draft picks. And incredible, 9 were transfers.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's just like hitting the jackpot. It's hitting the jackpot.
They built like a CFP contender through the portal, which is just no one else has done it.
It can happen, but it's just very hard to replicate year over year.
Yeah,
it just is. All right, let's build a linebacker. Let's build if you build it segment. We're going to end the show with an if you build it segment, the ultimate Notre Dame linebacker. And this is going to be brought to you by our friends at VSRMediaCompany.com. You can build a website. You can build a social media page that you will be proud of that will enhance enhance your business, enhance your outreach. You can build a highlight video that will enhance your ability to get out to people and get your highlights out to people. Founded by Notre Dame football pregame host and Emmy Award-winning anchor Vahid Saad Rezadeh, VSR Media provides professional and cinematic video and photo Whether you're looking for a collegiate or pro-level highlight reel, have a personal story to tell, or are aiming to diversify and grow your business, VSR Media specializes in short and long-form video storytelling, social media management, and website design. VSR Media also captures professional headshots, senior and sports photos. Contact them at vsrmediacompany.com. Mention Irish Sports Daily to receive 20% off your first project. Visit them online or give them a call at 574-800-9106. All right. We are, we've done this before with quarterbacks. We're going to do it again with linebackers. I've broken down the categories into, run defense, pass rush, instincts, leadership, and playmaking. And you can pick two from the same player. It's fine. And also just body type. Like, what do you want the ultimate Notre Dame linebacker recently, right? We'll go recent. What do you want the ultimate Notre Dame linebacker to look like?
I mean, it's tough to pick anyone other than Jalen Smith. That because
it's tough to do, and we're not going to do that. It's going to be Jalen Smith. That's a no-brainer to me.
I mean, he's long. He was like absolutely jacked. Mm-hmm. He was a physical freak.
Yeah,
physical freak. He had all the check every box physically. So there's just it would have to be Jalen Smith. I don't even think there's anyone even close that you would pick. Physically, you know, that could match him.
Yeah. Jalen Smith is what it looks like, right? So that's where we're going to go with that. I think we're going to be complete agreement. Who's
body run like Tarzan plays like that, Tarzan.
There you go. Who's run defense do you want to give to this player?
I'm going to go with Tavon Coney because I think he was, and you know, you could. Manti Te'o, certainly it's a tough, you know, one between them. But I think just in terms of the straight up inside run game, Tavon Coney was, I think, the best inside run stuffer out of all of them. Just instincts and all that. Instincts, physicality, everything you kind of want out of there.
So I would give, I think this is correct. So run defense and instincts, I combine the two into this because I said you could pick two from one player. I would say instincts, run defense, Tavon Coney's because, man, he is the most underrated player in all of the last 15 years. He was so good. His 2017 season is insane. He didn't start until like week three. And he just the tackles, the amount of snaps that he played, like his production for his snap count was off the charts. And it was all run game stuff, right? I believe they took him off the field on third down. Like he's not even playing third downs and he's accumulating these snaps. Like that's how good of a run defender he was. And I think he's the best one. Manti was great. There's no getting around that. He was the best run defender at the linebacker position that we have seen in the last 15 years. I don't think there's even a debate about that. He just unbelievable run defender there. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, let's go. Pass defense. As a pass defender, what linebacker are you going with, Jamie?
I'm going Drew Tranquil here. I think, you know, when it comes to – I mean, he was a fluid guy. He obviously was a former safety, a guy who could, you know, carry the tight end vertically, mm-hmm. A guy who's just, you know, intelligence, recognition. When we're talking about the perimeter game, his ability to be physical out there and win on the perimeter, you know, that part of it too, as part of coverage, like, I would say would be the choice for me.
Okay. I'm gonna have a slight disagreement. I'm going with JOK covering slots. I mean, he was Notre Dame's nickel. You know, he was Notre Dame's nickel. He's covering slots. He's basically he's a cheat code out there because of the way that he can cover. Now, granted, I think your point on Drew is that like JOK was a man-to-man type guy, right? Well, where does he work in the middle in the zone? Now, it kind of is hard because I've seen him do it in the pros and he didn't do it at Notre Dame. So it's like, I kind of know he has that. But like, man, I want that. Like, I want the guy. And the thing about Drew is like, he also played safety, right? And he was probably, he's like a 4-5-8 guy. So like, he obviously has the ability to do it. But like when JOK is playing slot against like Alabama, like that's a special, special pass defender. So what do you have? Do you want to split that or you, Drew Tranquil?
I'm going to split it because JOK, I was going to reserve for playmaking, you know, part of it. Like he was to be like the guy. I mean, obviously he made just like an incredible amount of plays.
Right.
I mean, that's another one where like Teo, you could easily put there too, but I was going to put JOK there for playmaking, but I mean, whatever. I'm totally fine with if you want to go JOK for coverage too. I'm fine with that. Good choices to have.
Yeah. Pass rusher. Who's the best pass rusher?
Pass rusher, I think is really interesting, and I gotta say, out of like the kind of like BK Marcus Freeman era, I think JD Bertrand's the best pass rusher.
Oh my goodness. All right, let's hear it.
I think he's the best pass rusher. He is just incredible timing for as a blitzer. I mean, Aaron Lynch isn't a linebacker.
Matt, he was three tech. Three
yeah,
tech.
He's like he's a put his hand in the ground guy, right? So so he wouldn't qualify for this. Mm. I wouldn't even include like Prince Shembo here because technically he was an outside linebacker.
No.
He was an edge. Yeah, right. So he was an edge. So I wouldn't put him there in that category. And I just think if you look at Bertrand, he's someone just in terms of his ability to kind of like the timing, ability to get skinny as a blitzer, the fact that watch him this year as a peak, like his peak, he was no one was a better pass rusher, Matt, because, and the reason, only reason you could say Jalen Smith could have been the best pass rusher.
Yeah.
They never freaking did anything.
They never did it. Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. First of all, anyone who watched practice when they lined him up as a pass rusher, it was like insane that they didn't do it more. And I understand he's such like an eraser for all these other mistakes, like in coverage and whatever. And they had to play him off the ball all the time. I get it. But he could have been maybe the best edge rusher that Notre Dame had. Like, he was phenomenal.
I was leaning Jalen just because, like, he didn't do it in games, but I know he can do it. So it's like, I want that ability. Like, I want him doing that, right? And, like, the other part is I do need to have Jalen doing something other than looking good, right? Like, which is kind of what we haven't. Like, the linebacker looks like Jalen, but like his ability to rush, I think, is the way. And so that's why I'm putting him there. Like, I think his ability, but it's also true. It's the other part too, is like JD Bertrand did it in this defense, like in a defense that's actually good. Whereas, like, it's almost like Jalen would be having to play like the Shembo, or not the Shembo, the Maris role, right? Where it's like he's coming off the edge. I you know what's funny is I think after this year, there's a sneaky chance that like the answer is Jalen Snead in like a year from now. And so I'm sneaky, like Jalen Snead's gonna have a huge season. Like, the way that I think about it happening is he just got a huge year. I think he could. So that's something to keep track of here. We can go with Bertrand though. That's cool. Leadership. I mean, I'm going with Manti, right? How can you not? I mean, he was the ultimate leader, right? Like he had that ultimate, and not just that, but I think in 2011 too, like he was the leader of that defense as well. Just like the fact that he came back as well is also a huge one. I mean, it's just like that. He was the quintessential, like, you know, people talk Rice offensively and like how much of a leader he was. Like, I think Manti is that on defense and linebacker specifically.
And just the big moments too, he would come through, right? Like that's just kind of what you would go with. By the way, too, the Shark 83 here with this Maris take, get out of here with that. I can't stand these people who hate on them. Like Maris is a damn good player. He's a damn good player. Like, sorry that.
Well, he got drafted in the third round.
Go to the other podcasts that want to hate on him or whatever. He was a good player, and frankly, too, he was like a good pass rusher.
I think he's making a joke, but like he got drafted in the third round. Like that's why I also think it's a joke. He's just making a funny playmaking. You're going to go JOK here. I think that's right. Right. Like he was a heck of a playmaker. Like catching the pitch on the,
against Clemson. Was that just phenomenal.
It's like a huge play, you know? In terms of like, he made a bunch of big plays against USC in 2019, made a big play in the ACC championship game against Clemson. Like he was definitely a gamer, you know, like he was not afraid of the moment. Right. And he was a tremendous playmaker for Notre Dame.
Go back to that Georgia game, that 2019 Georgia game too.
Yeah.
And you know, that's obviously early JOK, but he was making plays in that game too. And that was kind of the game where, and I know he made plays in the Louisville game, but he also, he was, you know, made mistakes in that Louisville game. And then when you saw him later on in that Georgia game, I thought that was a game where you were like, oh, this guy is this good. He's really this good. He's going to be pretty special. You know, and the thing is too, is he could make plays in coverage. He could make plays in the perimeter. You know, they didn't blitz him as much as you kind of think, but he was also just like a really great blitzer. And I almost think that, like, I don't think he actually was ready to, now he obviously plays inside linebacker for Cleveland in the NFL. And you can see he's just got better and better as he's gone along. And I don't think he was ready to play. Obviously he was a lot smaller at Notre Dame too, right? Like he, especially early on, right? Like he was really light. So I don't know if he was ready to kind of be that kind of inside linebacker, like Will linebacker kind of that he is now. But like, man, there's just, I just love, if you ever see like, say like the Baldy breakdowns that Brian Baldinger does, the breakdowns, and you'll just pick out like some JOK plays and you're like, oh my God, he's like doing matrix things to avoid blocks and just make plays. It's phenomenal.
He's insane. And honestly, like playmaking, I'm counting just crushing guys, just the absolute knocking people just into smithereens. And I'll never forget the hit against New Mexico? I mean, on a kickoff return, just runs through this guy, and he ends up in the fetal position. Like, oh man, like never been hit that hard in his life. That's when you start to consider, like, maybe I should like take a medical red shirt and just get out of here. Can't play this sport anymore because he hit me too hard. Man, what is an absolute legend. So we'll add him to the playmaking. So it's a linebacker. Looks like Jalen Smith. Plays run like Tavon Coney, defends like pass like Drew Tranquil and or JOK, rushes the passer like we'll say JD Bertrand, has the instincts of Tavon Coney, the leadership of Manti Te'o, and the playmaking of Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. Sounds good to me. Let's get that guy in the program. So we're gonna end it there. Thank you everyone for tuning in. If you like what you heard, please hit the like. Please hit subscribe. Please hit the notification bell so you know whatever it is. We are going live. Links to the podcast are in the description below. As always, Jacob Paula says, watching Greg do build the perfect safety will be fun. Just put Kyle Hamilton out there, and that's the end of the show right there.
I mean, Kyle out there.
It's pretty much what it is. It's kind of true. Yeah. I mean, it looks exactly like that. So, all right, everyone, we'll talk to you next week. Have a good weekend. Keep hitting and hustling.